told him how the captain was likely to return, and how soon, and answered a few other questions. "Ah," said he, "this'll be as good as drink to my mate Bill." So saying, the stranger backed along with me into the parlour and put me behind him in the corner, so that we were both hidden by the open door. At last in strode the captain, slammed the door behind him, without looking to the right or left, and marched straight across the room to where his breakfast awaited him.
"Bill,"
said the stranger in a voice that I thought he had tried to make bold and big. The captain spun round on his heel and fronted us. All the brown had gone out of his face, and even his nose was blue. He had the look of a man who sees a ghost, or the evil one, or something worse, if anything can be, and upon my word, I felt sorry to see him all in a moment turn so old and sick.
"Come, Bill, you know me, you know an old shipmate, Bill, surely," said the stranger.
The captain made a sort of gasp.
"Black Dog," said he. "And who else?" returned the other. "Now look here," said the captain. "You've run me down. Here I am. Well then, speak up. What is it?"
"We'll sit down, if you please, and talk square like old shipmates." He bade me go and leave the door wide open.
"None of your keyholes for me, sonny," he said, and I left them together and retired into the bar.
Then all of a sudden there was a tremendous explosion of oaths and other noises. The chair and table went over in a lump, a clash of steel followed, and then a cry of pain, and the next instant I saw Black Dog in full flight, and the captain hotly pursuing, both with drawn cutlasses and the former streaming blood from the left shoulder. Just at the door, the captain aimed at the fugitive one last tremendous cut, which would certainly have split him to the chine if it had not been intercepted by our big signboard of Admiral Benbow. The captain passed his hand over his eyes several times and at last turned back into the house.
"Jim," says he, "rum."
And as he spoke, he reeled a little and caught himself with one hand against the wall.
"Rum," he repeated. "I must get away from here. Rum, rum."
I ran to fetch it, but I heard a loud fall in the parlour, and running in, beheld the captain lying full length upon the floor. At the same instant, my mother, alarmed by the cries and fighting, came running downstairs to help me. Between us we raised his head. He was breathing very loud and hard, but his eyes were closed and his face a horrible colour. It was a happy relief for us when the door opened and Dr. Livesey came in on his visit to my father. "Oh, doctor," we cried, "what shall we do? Where is he wounded?"
"Wounded?" said the doctor. "No more wounded than you or I. The man has had a stroke. I warned him. Jim, you get me a basin."
When I got back with the basin, the doctor had already ripped up the captain's sleeve and exposed his great...